This is Leo for KTWH, Two Harbors Community Radio. It is the week of Independence Day, the 4th of July, and 4th of July afternoon. I have Michaela Rice from Gooseberry Falls State Park. We're here for a kind of special holiday edition of Wandering Nature News. Michaela, I heard you're going to be checking out the fireworks later, and we were wondering what that might do to some of the wildlife populations, and I think you were fairly assessing it that it'd be just an acute event, and unless it just kept going and going day after day, maybe not going to be having a permanent change in their behavior.
That would be correct.
Okay. But they could have some stress hormones kick in.
Yep, spike, maybe a little bit stressful a nighttime, but hopefully by tomorrow everyone will have calmed down.
And that's, of course, if it doesn't rain, because the rain is in the offing. And how about that change in our pattern? Last time we talked, we were really a little anxious about the fact that there wasn't enough water for plants, and plants would affect how much food there was for the animals. And now about 3 to 5 inches, depending upon where you live in the greater North Shore area, and some areas actually up to like 7 inches by Island Lake.
That's how much they've gotten this year now?
Just in the last week.
Oh, yeah, and I was going to say that
10 days.
The last 2 weeks have been great in terms of rain because now our water levels are back up. But yeah, last time we talked, we were kind of itching for rain, absolutely. And I'm hoping it came at a good time and was enough water. I was afraid it was just going to be one storm and then
it'd all leave, then back in the cycle. And we're talking with Kenny Blumenfeld, who's the Minnesota DNR's senior climatologist, every Friday. And he's reminded us that we're also going through a major changeover now from the La Nina to the El Nino pattern in the Pacific. And we might see changes in temperature and precipitation that will kick in sooner or later in our area. And I'm sure there are a million variables, and I'm sure you're familiar with things that are multivariate and they're
yes, very complex, but I would like to hear more as you learn from him, because I do know about that switch, and I was wondering if that shifting had something to do with some of the precipitation patterns we weren't seeing, and then now that we are seeing. And still seems that we're struggling with some haze, which I thought would be much shorter lived, but it's been lasting us most of the last month.
Yeah, I think I saw in the morning news brief, the local news brief, that they were still mobilizing crews to go up north. And I don't know which section of the Canadian firescape, because it must be all the way from Nova Scotia out to the west to Alberta, and it's really something. And if they get closer to us, we might be living with haze through the autumn.
Yeah, I am amazed at how widespread these fires are. It seems like, yeah, it could last the whole season. So that's a bit more of that chronic stress, right? Because even if we can feel it, I'm sure the animals, smoke is not something that they're really prepared to deal with at a long-term level either. So haze is going to be something that is going to have to keep coming up, and we're going to start eventually understanding the effects of that long-term for everyone. I know I had some respiratory, I could feel the burning in my throat and stuff, but the animals don't seem like they've really slowed down. Of course, there's lots of activity out in the woods still. We had mentioned that baby season is still progressing, and some of those animals are getting a bit older and maybe coming out. I've only seen grouse, chicks. They can fly now. Some of the broods can fly, but can't fly long distances.
I was going to say, they can kind of get up.
Yeah.
Hopefully they don't carry beyond the reach of mom's watchful eye.
She's around. She kind of sounds like a chicken kind of clucking. I won't make the noise because I'll embarrass myself, but...
Oh, come on, Kayla. It's only community radio.
Yeah, it's pretty cute. I had heard her calling 13 or 14 chicks across a little gravel pathway, and she got interrupted twice by people walking by, and my intern and I still just sat there quietly and just listened for her to start in the grass. We couldn't see her, but we could hear her, and the chicks were peeping and pew pew calling back to each other, and eventually all of them, they came out.
What's that chick noise again? I think I recognize that. I don't think you're half bad, but
I can't make how high of the little calling that those chicks make, but yeah, it was really cool.
Okay.
I love when they talk to each other. So
in our neighborhood, likewise, we've run across the the baby grouse, and we've also witnessed today my first fawn that was alive. Sadly, I saw a roadkill, but and then we had, I'm losing track. Oh, I had a question to you about, we have a very small lake in our neighborhood that's been hosting a loon or two the last few years. Would I know at this point in the season whether there were babies on a lake?
Yeah, I think that if it was a successful hatch, you would be seeing them. I don't know how late they may have eggs, but I know that a lot of the loons with successful territories have chicks that are, you know, swimming around sure. with their parents already. So it may sound like they were there without chick.
Well, I don't want to steal the thunder yeah. because you and I are going to speak with the intern from Gooseberry, Zach, about loons in a kind of a special
yes,
edition.
Yes.
of Wandering Nature News. But on the same rather small lake, my wife had and friends had observed a pair of swans well into June, but by the third or fourth week of June, they were gone. So was this some kind of temporary staging along a path? I'm a little lost about what the swans would have for their pattern.
That'll have to be my homework because I saw some trumpeters along. Well, it was just one. I was waiting to see if it had a nesting yeah. pair, and I was like, oh, maybe I've seen them here a few days in a row. Maybe they're nesting. But I have no idea where they went, and I have no idea where they would nest. So maybe they were foraging in these sites that you and I were seeing them, and they've relocated. I'm not sure what swans select for. I've seen them in the prairie pothole region on sloughs and stuff.
Yes, and to be honest, I was actually a little concerned that maybe there had been more human activity than they had seen for a while, and that was a discouragement. And yet, I'm not trying to point any fingers.
I mean,
people go swimming at this lake.
Right. If they're not used to it, yeah. it could be enough to set them off for sure.
Yeah.
And I know that loons are very territorial with one another, and I know that to be the same for swans, but it sounds like across species, they have a little bit more tolerance for one another.
Okay.
And so maybe the loons and the swans could both nest on the same lake, but you wouldn't have two pairs of loons likely on a small lake like that because they would not tolerate that.
Okay. Are you saying that if they were going to be raising babies on a lake, that the pair of swans might be just too much?
Well, no, I'm thinking that they would tolerate a different species raising young on the same
sure.
lake.
Sure, but what if they wanted to raise their young? Would they?
That would be fine.
Place?
Yeah, those birds don't want to be mingling with birds of their own species.
Oh.
They find that too competitive.
Right. Yeah,
but
this lake is way too small for two pairs of birds.
Right,
yeah.
right. So, yeah. I don't know if one was nesting, if that would affect the other one. I've heard of loons nesting by other birds, so who knows? There was something suboptimal about that lake that they left for. We could
guess. It being that late in the year and not knowing if this pair of swans had not even had any eggs, literally I'm throwing myself to your homework assignment to find out when would they have reared their young and, would they really have done it on this small lake anyway? Maybe this was just kind of a special set of circumstances that they had to hang out here for a while.
All right. Well, swans is on my homework list.
Okay.
Leo.
Just keep the shopping list, Michaela. There is something special about the summer besides the fireworks, the length of the days, the beautiful flowers that are now going to be really jumping because of the recent rain. And also, hopefully, the berry and mast crops will catch up.
I'm really hoping so. I think stuff that was late in the spring, I feel like, I don't know, that calendar is kind of slowing down. Like, there's already fireweed that's blooming.
I wanted to ask, this is like a month early.
Okay, yeah, what's going on? Some things are late, and then some things are really early, like fireweed.
All I could think of is that fireweed takes some signal from the ground moisture and says, I got to throw up flowers, even though it's not the right time because I have to make seed.
I think it took advantage of that wet after all the dry. And so maybe some other flowers will be doing that as well, kind of getting out of what I had kind of presumed the pattern was going to be.
This whole wonderful thing we call phenology, the synchrony of when things happen, it might be a little dissonant, like an orchestra being conducted by a chimpanzee.
Yeah. It's kind of ad-lib this summer. So that's interesting. You noticed that as well.
I did. Yes. Right. We looked out our window and said, wait a second, they're in full bloom. Is this mid to late August? No, it is not.
I know. Our calendar now is going to be skewed because usually it tells us when summer's coming to a close, and it's going to be...
If I see a bunch of asters blooming this weekend,
I
am going to write you an email saying, I think I'm going north.
Yeah. Oh.
Except then I'll run right into those big banks of fire haze, so I won't be going north probably. I don't know where to go, Michaela. Yeah, where is it safe?
I know. We're going to be spinning in circles. One thing that I have noticed that has been lovely to see is all the monarch caterpillars and monarch butterflies have been seen around the park. They seem to be doing really great right now.
Yes, and we saw some of the strangest observation my wife made is that the feeblest, smallest little water-deprived milkweed in the whole yard had a bunch of monarch caterpillars on it, and these big, tall, beautiful, lush-looking ones that were a little more in the shade had no caterpillars on them. My wife wanted to know, can I transport them to where there might be more leaves to eat?
Yeah, maybe they chose that plant for a reason. Who knows?
Do you know about handling of insects like that, whether it's a safe bet?
I just always want to put on a latex glove just in case so they can't absorb anything.
Right.
Otherwise, the worst thing that happens, I think it's going to probably regurgitate or do that little caterpillar poo thing on you. But
I've had worse.
Yeah, you know. but no.
Anybody that's owned a dog has probably seen a lot worse.
Yeah, that insect kind of, I don't know, it's kind of like vomit or something. Grasshoppers do it too. But no, I think you could scoot them on a little piece of paper or something. But I haven't seen any chrysalises either. And I think that's maybe just a rare find, something hard to find. But it's been on my personal scavenger hunt list for the summer.
Well, if we get any that we can photograph, we'll send them your way. And if you really want to see them, we're not going to keep them secret. But it is fun. We haven't seen any yet either, if you're wondering. So we have, in addition to all these wonderful turns of event, the water coming back to the landscape, we've got stargazing that you've had one episode, one round of the astronomers, the astrophysicists coming up to the parks on the North Shore. Do you want to fill us in on there's an encore?
Yes, we have a second event, Universe in the Park. They will be at Gooseberry Friday, July 28th, and they start their presentation at 8:45 at Lady Slipper. We do it inside. They have a presentation. And last month, just last week, they talked about gamma ray bursts. And it's a fun way to talk to some really smart people, and they dumb it down for us so we can actually understand or begin to fathom what these huge, crazy concepts are. And then they show us stars with their very expensive equipment.
That they let us touch, or at least put our eye up to the ocular. Okay. Well, that's fantastic. And that, again, is back-to-back evenings, first at Gooseberry on the 28th.
Yep.
And at Teta Gooch on the 29th.
Correct.
Okay. And on my Appalachian Simple Lifestyle calendar, it says there is an aquarid, or as it sounds, looks like Aquarian, meteor shower peak that evening. So that should be pretty neat.
Yeah.
Maybe not to look at through a telescope, but with the naked eye even.
Well, yeah, and you can sit out on the picnic floor by the lake, and if it's clear, the stars are just amazing, and the Milky Way is so brilliant. So if you're camping or in that area, it's just such a fantastic event. And they really do talk about meteorology or astronomy in a way that layman folks can understand, and kids, and everyone is super engaged. So I highly recommend.
Fantastic. Any other highlights in the coming couple of weeks? I know we're just at the beginning of July, but you know, if it's like June, it's just going to fly by.
Yeah, no, otherwise it's just our day-to-day naturalist programming at the park. We keep the online calendar, the Parks and Trails event calendar, as up to date with events at Gooseberry. So you can go online and see what's happening in the next week or two. And that's the easiest way to find events, or they're posted around at the park when you come. But I know that the bugs have died down a bit as well. So
they were expected to around the 4th of July, but I'm afraid that now a week or two from now, we're going to have a doozy.
So I'm plugging it, though, for the next week or two. Get out hiking.
Okay. Yeah.
Because along the shore, at least with the breeze, I have not had issues with mosquitoes at the park.
You folks with the shore breeze, you really don't know what it's like in the backwoods on some of these evenings. If you let three or four of them into your bedroom, you spend the night
swatting.
Getting up, turning on the lights, and swatting aimlessly to no effect. Hey, Michaela, one other note, and I don't know if you've seen this up towards Gooseberry, but we've had a fair number of turtles now crossing roadways, and I just wanted to warn folks, when you see an object on the road that looks like it might be a rock, please slow down.
Do you know if they're painted turtles?
I think I've seen both a box and a painted turtle.
You saw a box turtle.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, that's great. And yeah, they must be nesting soon, and that's probably why they're doing a lot more crossing, looking for nesting habitat. So
yeah, and they have this odd idea, Michaela, of putting eggs on the side of our gravel roads,
especially
the really sandy ones.
Yep.
And I always feel like that's kind of not a match made in heaven to have the eggs.
So it's an example of an ecological sink in a way.
Yeah.
Like there's something that's really suitable that they like. They come here. But the reproduction is so low, right? Because those turtles have a very poor chance of surviving and getting off the road.
Right.
So, yeah, it's unfortunate that turtles are drawn to those areas to lay eggs when it's just not great habitat for them.
I've tried talking to them, and they look at me like,
Yeah, they're not great at reasoning with you, huh? Try a different language, maybe, Leo.
I brought it across to the east side of the road and did my errands and turned around, came back, and the turtle was back on the west side of the road and hanging out right in the last 2 feet before the grassy strip on the side of the road. And I could tell she was just waiting for me to leave her alone so she could lay those eggs. And I couldn't talk any
sense into her. Did you try it with a Canadian accent?
Eh?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, but we ran out of time, Michaela. I don't know if we got to some of the things you wanted to talk about, but you have homework for next time. And we'll be talking with you and Zach about loons soon.
Sounds great. We can't wait.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Happy 4th of July.
Happy 4th of July to you, too. This is Leo, and we've been speaking with Michaela Rice, the naturalist at Gooseberry Falls State Park. We do that every couple of weeks, and we call it Wandering Nature News. You're listening to KTWH.